New consumer protections take shape.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning, good Monday to you. I'm Bill Radke. Major legislation for financial reform is working its way through Congress. One of the biggest sticking points in the Senate is this question of an independent consumer financial protection agency. It would oversee consumer financial products like credit cards and mortgages. Marketplace's Stacey Vanek Smith has the story.
The financial regulation bill pumps up oversight and gives the federal government a larger role in regulating financial products like securities and derivatives. But the bill doesn't do enough to police things like credit cards and mortgage loans, says Heather McGee with progressive think tank Demos.
We need a new federal regulator, the Consumer Financial Protection Agency, who's going to have its sole mission be to protect consumers.
Right now, the agency that protects consumers also protects the financial soundness of banks. Critics say creating a separate agency is overkill, and the White House is beginning to back away from the idea. Travis Plunkett is with the Consumer Federation of America.
Consumer protection needs to be independent of the regulators who are focused on the safety and soundness of financial institutions. They have become entirely too cozy with the banks they regulate.
An independent consumer agency is part of the House bill now. The Senate Banking Committee is expected to reach an agreement about the agency this week. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
There are signs this morning of a French-German rescue for Greece that has stock markets relieved. European share prices are almost 1% higher this morning. Stocks in Asia also rose today more than 1%. The British insurer Prudential said it will buy the Asian unit of AIG in a deal worth $35.5 billion. On Wall Street on Friday, the Dow closed up 4 points. It closed at 10,325. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton will visit Chile tomorrow to get a firsthand look at damage from Saturday's massive earthquake. Chile's economy will take a hit from the quake. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer joins us now live from Washington. Nancy, good morning.
Good morning.
What's the latest?
Well, as you said, Chile's economy will take a hit. Chile is one of the key copper exporters in the world, Bill. At least three copper mines in Chile were closed after the earthquake. And those mines produce more than a fifth of all copper in Chile. But the two biggest copper mines in Chile were not affected by the earthquake. Those mines may not have been physically damaged, but the earthquake did still restrict their production. Some mines lost power. There are problems with some roads leading from mines to ports. Some ports are closed. Not surprisingly, copper prices have jumped to their highest levels in more than 5 weeks.
I didn't realize copper was that big an industry in Chile. What else about Chile's economy might take a hit here?
Well, Chile's a big wine exporter. It's not clear how many lives have been lost in the wine-producing regions of the country. It's also not clear how much damage has been done to vineyards. But the road damage and the power failures that we talked about a minute ago were obviously also impacting wineries.
Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer joining us live. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Microsoft, offering cloud computing for businesses with solutions for managing the transition to the cloud while managing costs for customers at Microsoft.com/cloud services. By Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing, online surveys, and event marketing. ConstantContact.com. And by LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place. LendingTree.com.
An Indian scientist has found a way to triple a lifespan. The lifespan of a tomato, that is. But the so-called Stay Fresh tomato does have its enemies, as reporter Raymond Thibodeau tells us from New Delhi.
Tomatoes have a tiny farm-to-market window of up to 2 weeks, but researchers at the National Institute of Plant Genomes in Delhi can extend the shelf life of a tomato to 1.5 months. Here's Dr. Asis Datta, the director of the institute.
We characterize the two enzymes, alpha-man and beta-hex. We clone the genes and then design the construct to silence these two genes.
Simply put, Dr. Datta found two tiny switches in the tomato that cause it to age, and he basically turned them off. He says the same can be done for other fruit crops, such as bananas and mangoes. Many Indians are hailing the breakthrough as a boon, not only for the country's farmers, but also for India's children, nearly half of whom are malnourished. Some estimates show that as much as 40% of India's produce harvest is wasted because of a lack of adequate storage facilities and decent roads.
It's too expensive to transport from the villages to the cities. If I give a tomato a shelf life of 45 days, you can even use a cart to reach the market. Farmers will be rich, and the consumer will get the lower price.
Sounds like a win-win, but not everyone sees it that way. Vandana Shiva is a physicist who heads Navdanya, an agency that supports organic farming in India. She says if Dr. Datta's motivation is to help India's farmers, creating a longer-lasting tomato isn't the answer.
I have traveled through this country where farmers have plowed the tomato back into the field because it's more costly to harvest than the price that they would ever get back. That's the real crisis farmers are facing. It's a crisis of unfair trade, low prices for farmers, and it has to be solved in the marketplace. It can't be solved in the lab.
Still, some analysts say the Stay Fresh tomato is likely to meet a fate similar to a genetically enhanced type of eggplant recently developed here. The eggplant had sailed through much of the approval process, then suddenly the process juddered to a halt, largely due to massive street protests by groups opposed to genetically modified food crops. Among those leading the protests, the farmers. In New Delhi, I'm Raymond Thibodeau for Marketplace.
And finally, a Georgia restaurant owner has launched a campaign celebrating the Cornish chicken.
Last year, this beautiful bird contributed over $3 billion to the state's agribusiness coffers. Yet, Georgia's state bird is the inedible, lazy, and migratory brown thrasher.
This campaign is called Flip the Birds. It's a call to make the chicken the official state bird of Georgia. And while the economic argument is clearly powerful, defenders of the brown thrasher say there are two requirements for a state bird. One, it can fly. Two, it does not come with coleslaw. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.